Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity. Hello and welcome to a Tuesday edition of the Weekly Conversation. I'm your host, the man with the mic, Kyle. We got a wonderful show for you today. I want to get into today in the conversation, folks. If you haven't heard, North Korea and South Korea are buddy-buddy, and I want to get into what that states about the, you know, is it good? Is there intentions from the North just a buddy-buddy to try to get some economic sanctions to continue their nuclear program underneath the table? Also want to get into in this conversation, folks. Oh, the White House Correspondents' Dinner. The White House Correspondents' Dinner. The comments that were made, good, bad, whatever. Michelle Malkin. Love you. I agree with her 100%. Benjamin Netanyahu dropped a smoking bomb.
Yes, he did.
Not a gun.
A bomb.
A smoking bomb.
Ba-boom.
About Iran. And he tried to speak up and say stuff when Obama was president and you had Democrats turn their back. Remember that?
I do.
They turned their back. Like, you just want... because Obama basically built a golden road for them. Wow. It's hard to believe, but over the weekend was an end of an era for Austin Venga and Arsenal. I mean, love him or hate the man, he was pivotal in Arsenal, and he's a legend and a legacy that's going to be missed, and I'll get into that much, much more. So welcome to the conversation that I hope you feel a part of. John 5:24, I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins. They have already passed from death into life. Think about that as you're going through your day to day. And in case you didn't know, you don't have to, but if anyone is interested in calling in, please, the call in number, if you'd like to chime in and say that you agree with me or disagree with me, it's 718-305-6950. Thank you. Thank you so much. And, you know, if you know anyone else who is interested in this, you know, liberal or not, share it. You know, get the message out there. Get people waking up to listen. You know, get other people. You know, this conversation is more than just me and my producer. It's everybody. It's the whole U.S. You know, Trump is not one man, but it takes all of us to do something.
And please like, share, comment on the Blog Talk Radio, and just let other people know and spread the word. We're a minority. We might have a Republican president and Senate or House, I don't remember.
House and Senate.
A lot of the Democrats and Republicans are the same of a two-sided coin. Thank God we have a president who's not, but our voice needs to be out there to let us know. And if you don't think it needs to, if you think, you know, if you're a liberal or whatever, just let us know. Please just like, share on the Blog Talk Radio. I don't know how that goes. If you're friends on Facebook, like and share. And that's all I have to say, hon.
And then that's what she said is so true, because you have so many Republicans that are technically liberal.
Thank you, Paul Ryan.
Yep. And we finally have, you know, see, President Trump, true supporters of him are not going to blow smoke up his butt with everything he does. That's the difference. I have Obama supporting friends that he didn't do one thing wrong, didn't make one mistake, didn't screw up ever. He was perfect. Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. The only perfect person I ever met was Jesus Christ. But that's how this world works. We have different viewpoints. I mean, when you go back, to those anti-Trump jokes at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Don't change the format, change the filthy mouths. That's going to get people to wake up and say, hey, you know, when are people going to realize that the conservatives have a huge voice? That there were a crap ton of people. See, the liberals don't realize that there were a crap ton of people that don't argue, and under the table, they were voting for Trump, and they were never going to wear a shirt. They were never going to, they don't want to get into the political. I don't mind. That's what I do for a living. Outside of cooking, I'll go to toe-to-toe with any liberal or any conservative. And 9 times out of 10, we find common ground. And what you have in this is, yeah, she has the right to say that. Would anyone have been able to get away with that when with Obama president? No way. The liberal media would have went out. How dare you? You go off. How dare you talk about the president in that way? How dare you? They would go. They would have their panties in a bunch. We were going off on Sasha and Malia, Obama's kids. But since, wait a minute here, it's Trump's kid, who cares? You know, it's just, wow. You know, it's, but there's no double standard. There's no double standard. There's no double standard. No, there's no double standard at all. Yeah, well, there is a double standard. And we the people see this. That's why we said, you know what? We've been effed over and screwed by every Democrat and Republican. Let's try someone who's not. Let's try, because our first attempt at having someone like this was a Ross Perot. And he was a good idea. The wrong person. We have the good idea and the right person. Now I will say this though. I mean, and this is, you know, I will put it out there because I'm a blunt guy. Until, and I don't think this will ever happen. If I live to be 60 years old, if I live 60 more years, if I live to be like 100 years old, I don't think I'll ever see a day when a one-income household can provide for a family of four. When my wife has gone to the ER and they have all these Medicaid commercials where, you know, you see those commercials all the time where Medicaid only pays for about 80% of your Part B medical expenses. The rest is up to you. My wife has had insurance where 80% health. She went to the ER and there was like 2% paid. And we're stuck. Okay, where are we coming up with the 10 grand? Oh, no. You need to call the insurance back. That's not right. Yep, that's what we're paying, the $300. All right. Well, sir, you're supposed to go through... you're supposed to go through this checklist. You're supposed to call this nurse line and do all this stuff. Yeah, we did this. Oh, we did this. It's not even on the list. We did that's not even on the list. We went beyond what you were supposed to do. and they said, you better get her to the ER. We followed every protocol that you have to try to keep us from using your insurance. I mean, there was a time if you had insurance, you could use it. Now it's like, well, okay, yeah, well, what happens is, yeah, this insurance, yeah, for your washing machine, what that does is you pay a $400 copay, and we paid $300 for the washing machine. Well, sir, yeah, the insurance, you pay the $400 copay, and then that wash, then for the next year, it's fixed for free as many times as you want. Okay, gee, $400 or buy a new one for $300. You know, most people just buy the brand new one. I mean, there's no insurance where, okay, like if you break your glasses, they repair them. No, you have to pay some, $20, $30. It's not much usually, but you know what happened to the days where you have insurance? I mean, that's why I thought when I got my insurance for my cell phone, it paid for it if it broke without, oh no, depending on how old your phone is, you have to, it's like $200 or $250 or $150, depending on how old it is. I'm like, oh, so I'm just, I guess I'm keeping a cracked screen. It's ridiculous. Because you buy a screen protector that, oh, we don't guarantee it from, it just helps protect your screen from getting broke. We don't guarantee it's not going to, your screen's not going to break. And then why would I buy the thing? I bought the thing assuming that when I put it on there, my screen will not crack. I think the screen protector fared better than the screen. But my point is, folks, there was a time when one income household could provide for a family of four. When you had insurance where you could use it, not, well, well, yeah, here's the 75-page manual. You have to go through all this. And, you know, once you've gone through all this and we approve of all this, then you can consider going to the ER. But then we still actually want to make sure that, you know, there's, oh, the red starred ones you need to do about 5 times to make sure that you're absolutely positively have to go to the ER and that you can't wait and go to the just an urgent care center. Oh, no. It's ridiculous. But we live in a different era. We live in an era where my wife, okay, well, how are we going to do this? Because she has to have surgery, and okay, I'm going to take off the minimum days I can because I can't. We can't afford to have her not work. We can't. I mean, that's the problem in this world. You know, you sit there and it's like, and we're not talking rich. We're talking just paying bills, just living paycheck to paycheck. That's 90% of Americans. And what Americans are fed up with is, gee, let me see here. I want to make 100-some thousand a year like a politician, and after 10 years, I have $100 million net worth and have no questions asked. How many, I think every single solitary politician, if they were a regular Joe, would be investigated by the IRS for having the amount of money they have in their bank accounts with the amount of money that they make a year. If you're getting $40,000 a year in a paycheck and you end up with $10 million in your bank, I think that's question for, hey, wait a minute, how are you getting $10 million in your bank? Well, if you have only $40,000 a year income, basically like a politician, but no one questions it. That's why people are fed up with, you know, Nancy Pelosi and her $10 million mansion and her $100 million net worth and her 20-foot high wall around her house. But, oh, we can't have one at the border. That's what people are fed up with. And these comments at this correspondence dinner, you get people that are basically going to be, that are basically saying that. They're like, okay, so you can say what you want. We know where you stand. And I think it's going to bring out this generation of people that are, you know, finally, there are people that are stepping up that are saying, I mean, there are kids in schools right now that are being suspended because they're going to the gun range. I applaud those people. Don't let a school intimidate you. You go to the gun range. You learn. I respect that because you got kids that don't know what the hell is going on, and you got kid, hey, I'm learning how to hold a gun. I'm learning how to use a gun. Okay, I'm learning how to field strip it, how to clean it. There was a time when guns were talked about in schools and they'd actually, you know, have gun safety classes. There's a great photo where it has a little kid with a mean face with the flipping the camera off, and then it has another picture down below where a kid's crying and it goes, my generation, this generation. What happened to my generation, you know, heck, your dad would give you a beer to hold, and you'd probably have a swig when you're 6 years old. Your uncles and grandparents were all smoking around you cigars and cigarettes and pipes and lighting candy cigarettes, and not now. Parents of child taken and arrested because they lit their son's candy cigarettes. Hello and welcome to the 6 o'clock news. I'm James Mason. Martin County man and wife have been taken into custody after they were posting videos of them lighting their kids' candy cigarettes. You know, that was all fictional, of course, but that's where we're at, you know. Well, he made his fingers into a gun shape, and I was offended, so he needs to be suspended. I don't get it. You know, where, you know, somewhere America got castrated somehow. And no one told us. I don't know if you heard this, but of course, North and South Korea are getting along in all this. And there's been talk in the news that not many people are talking about this, but when the North Korea was doing nuclear testing, they, like a big mountain in their country collapsed and all this stuff. And with all these economic sanctions and they're losing all this, they're being basically tight gripped. That they're like, oh, we got to kiss ass with South Korea and hopefully get some of these sanctions lifted and hopefully, you know, under the table to help get their nuclear, maybe we can, you know, get their nuclear program running. But as long as Trump is around, I think nothing's going to change until we see a North Korea where those people can go and do as they please and they can leave the country if they want to. And we're talking the people, not just these North Korean actors that are, you are in with the dear leader, and you're one of the elite people, and you're an actor, and you're going out to say, hey, look, we can do what we want, and it's not the people being free. Until their country allows their people to be free, like Cuba, I don't see any need to change in that country, because I don't think it's going to. I mean, I'm glad to see things going in the right direction. I just want them to stay in the right direction. I remember, and I've talked about this before, there was a facial recognition expert, and it'd be cool to get her if she could get enough images of the North Korean leader to see if the micro expressions of his face show anything. Because they had this, I was watching the special with this, where this lady was a facial recognition expert, and she looked at these interviews of these people that said they saw UFOs or Bigfoot and all this stuff. And she goes, I can't tell you what they saw. Nope, I can't tell you that. What I can tell you is that they believe what they're telling me. He believes he saw Bigfoot. He's not making up what he saw. Did he see Bigfoot? I don't know, but he believes what he's telling me. They believe what they're telling me about extraterrestrials. Whether you believe it or not, whether it was an extraterrestrial, a UFO or not, they believe what they're telling me. And it'd be neat to see if he's actually, from the micro expressions, when he's all like shaking hands and acting like he's happy, is he really actually truthful, or is he just like just I'm doing what I'm doing because I'm doing what I'm doing, you know what I mean? Like, he's just playing the game to try to get buddy-buddy with people. Let's get buddy with these, you know. And I honestly think until there's major change in that country and those people are allowed to do what they want and go as they please, nothing's going to change from the sanctions standpoint. I love because like they have all these immigrants trying to come in and all this stuff, and how dare all these immigrants want to come in and all this stuff, and like Trump said, you know, yeah, we're a nation of immigrants, but we're also a nation of laws, you know. That's the thing people don't get, and some of these themes keep reoccurring in the media and in the conversation and in general, because you have these people that, well, there's 100,000 people. Why don't you just let them in? What they, you know, well, who's going to feed them? Who's going to house them? Where are they going to be? How are we vetting these people? How do we know who they are? How do we know there's just not Islamic extremists and terrorists amongst them? Yep. Okay. Let's just let them in. And then 25 terrorists get in here and then they try to bomb and ram cars and kill people. How do we vet these people? We're a nation of immigrants, but we're also a nation of laws. And that's the thing people don't realize. We are a nation of laws and a nation of immigrants. And they coincide. We have a lot of people that were immigrants that followed the rules and followed the laws to make it into this country. And now, well, we should just let anyone in here. And most people, when you talk to some of these true immigrants, a lot of them don't want to be here. They want to be in their own country. There's just too much violence in their country, and they... and it's usually violence from an oppressive government that says, hey, we control everything. We own everything. Hand over your guns. Trust the government. We know what's best for you. We'll tell you when to go to the bathroom. You need medical treatment? Well, we know what's best. No, we're not going to pay for this. Oh, no, we know what's best. We're the government. That's where this country is headed, because a lot of people want that. That's not the case. We don't want... The average American doesn't want California. We don't want to be a country that they run our lives. I mean, whether you agree with same-sex marriage or not, you have the right to say, hey, I'm confused. We can help you. Whether you stay that way or you change or whatever the case may be. Not anymore. You know, so many of these people want that. It's just sad. I mean, if, as I talked about a little bit in the introduction, Benjamin Netanyahu says Iran blatantly lied after signing nuclear deal, moved documents to secret locations. They're still building a uranium plant. They're still trying to produce uranium. They're still trying to produce nuclear weapons. They're still going forward with this. Benjamin Netanyahu dropped a smoking bomb, not a gun, a bomb, Hiroshima bomb. Iran is going forward with this nuclear testing big time and trying to come up with uranium and build nuclear weapons as the nuclear deal that Obama passed, basically paved a golden road. Something's got to change. Something's got to change. I mean, he tried to bring that up when Obama was president, and there were Democrats that turned their turned away from him. Because there are pro-Iran Americans in this country that think Iran, oh, they're not doing anything wrong. Okay, when they have nuclear capabilities and they bomb us, you'll be, what are you going to say then? Why didn't they do anything? Why didn't they do anything? It's like I said before with North Korea. If they were to attack us, why didn't Trump do something? But if he attacked them first to prevent something, they'd be like, see, another Republican, another war. Here we go again. Now we can reboot MASH. We can get Doogie Howser to play the head surgeon. The 8077 instead of the 4077. I mean, seriously, I mean, I'm glad that's going in the right direction. But, yeah, Benjamin Netanyahu coming out basically saying, hey, they're hiding all this. They're actually increasing what they're doing and hiding it, not lessening. And you know what? If you want to say that, oh, here's another Republican saying that, he was for... Trump just wants to go to war and blow everyone up. So, he's just making up all this stuff about Iran so that we can actually go to war and all this stuff when you have a president that's not even ours, a prime minister that's not even ours, stating this is what is happening. North Korea is friends with South Korea. That's happening. We see it. Iran is bumping up uranium production and testing and all this stuff. Iran is moving forward with all this stuff that they said they weren't doing. Benjamin Netanyahu is showing the proof. It's like I say all the time, don't take my word for it. If it was a decision to bomb Syria was a good one, don't take my word for it. Look it up. Talk to the people who live there, who want to be there. That's their home that we're standing up for and helping. And that's where we're at, folks. We have a country that so many people ignore the voices of the people. Was it a great thing to bomb Syria? Well, ask the people who are grateful to have us do that. Ask those people who live there. Ask those people. That's what I'm getting at. You don't have to take Trump's work. This is Benjamin Netanyahu saying, they're ramping up production. They're hiding everything. They're the ones that are hiding and putting documents in secret location and moving things and covering up. And this is interesting. I want to get into this a little bit. Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salam to Palestinians, negotiate or shut up and stop complaining. The Saudi Crown Prince reportedly had a message for the Palestinian leadership, agree to come to the negotiations table or shut up and stop complaining. The blunt comments from the next in line to the Saudi throne made during a meeting with Jewish organizers in New York in March comes as the Trump administration works to broker a peace deal between Israel and the Palestinians. In the last several decades, the Palestinian leadership has missed one opportunity after another and rejected all peace proposals it was given, the Crown Prince said, according to a Channel 10 news report citing Israel and America sources befriended about the meeting. It's interesting because the Palestinians basically don't want a deal. They basically want, okay, this is our land. We want this. It's an all or nothing with the Palestinians, and they don't want to give or take. And to see a Saudi leader say, hey, get to the table and negotiate or shut up. Stop complaining. Pretty interesting. I want to thank you all so much for tuning into the program. I hope you feel a part of wherever you're listening around the world. And, you know, it doesn't have to be the U.S. that you're from. You could be any country. You know, do you really think the government has your best interest at heart? Or do you think, you know, would you give the government money to spend on your behalf or would you spend it? Wow. Yeah, this is pretty interesting. Everyone talks about these things in school. We never had like a senior prank, you know. They have these like when you're a senior in the United States, you know, you always do something, you know, like put like post-it notes all over. I've heard all kinds of stuff, putting post-it notes all over. There's one where they put like a slick, like a sex lube all over the floor to make it slippery for everyone. And then they said, oh, someone's going to fall and get hurt. And then they had to spend like most of the time cleaning it up because they didn't think about that. You know, all kinds of things. Yeah, we never really did anything. We never had a senior prank. But I guess some teens took a, from high school, took an American flag and put, you know, seniors, you know, with like a 2K, like 2018, and they did it on an American flag, and the veterans talked about what the flag stands for, what it means, and all this stuff, and these kids, some of them were in tears. They didn't realize what they had done, because it says seniors 2K18, and they didn't realize, you know, that they defaced an American flag, or what, you know, what they did, and I didn't mean any disrespect by it, but it was a great learning experience for these kids because seniors, and they do that to an American flag. I would have never have thought to do that to an American flag because I know better. I mean, that just kind of, I mean, it's good that it was a great teachable moment, but as a senior, you should know that. You know. Because I've seen the American flag without the stars. It's the American flag, but without the stars, it has a white peace symbol. And I'm like, that's not right. Even if you got the best of intentions, it's, you know, it's not right. Like, there was a lady that had an American flag with Obama in it. When it was given to me, like, doesn't make it okay. Ma'am, if someone gave me an American flag with, instead of the stars, that had a white image of Trump, I'd be like, okay, what is this? You know you're defacing the American flag. I'm a Trump supporter, but that's not right. That's wrong. Sorry. But it's a great, I guess, teachable moment that, like, now you can say, hey, look what we did. We were able to get the kids and let them see this teachable moment in something. Because, I mean, I'm glad it happened, but I'm sad that, okay, like, these kids didn't get it. And it took veterans to say, hey, this flag means something. Go to Cuba and see how many American flags those people wear. on their, you know, little patches. They don't have Tommy Cesar Chavez shirts like people do in the States. This is my wife's Fast Producer shared this one. This is very interesting. A news anchor reports her own husband's death live on the air without realizing it until the last minute when the photo came up. This is very, very, very interesting. I mean, when you do the news or you do a show like this, I mean, things are going to happen. You're going to get, like, stuff coming across my desk, I call it, you know, or whatever on my phone, and you're going to have some news. And it wasn't until they saw the photos that she's like, oh, that these four people died. And I think she read the names and didn't kind of put two and two together. But when she saw the photo, it dramatically changed her life. And you have those moments, like, and you just have to sit there and, I mean, our thoughts and prayers go out to IBC 24 News and the anchor, and just, and when the thing was over, once the camera stopped rolling, she was able to tell the people around her, she goes, that was my husband, you know, because it's not like while I'm live air, oh, folks, I just want to let you know, one of those people is my husband, you know, she kept it until the end. You know, when the camera stopped rolling, her husband had 2 years. So, wow. It's just one of the things that you sit there and but I heard this, and I've heard about it a little bit, but I was in shock. Because I've heard about it, but I wasn't quite sure. But it said Gibson files for bankruptcy and deal to renew guitar business. And I'm like, wow. Gibson Brands Inc. filed for bankruptcy protection with lenders taking control of the iconic American business that supplied guitars to B.B. King, Elvis Presley, and Pete Townsend. The Chapter 11 filing on Tuesday in Delaware keeps Gibson in business but gives ownership to note holders, replacing stockholders that include the chief executive officer, Henry Zitzker, and the company leaders for more than three decades. According to court filings, current note holders, including Silver Point Capital, Melody Capital Partners, and funds affiliated with KKR Credit Advisors. Gibson owes as much as $500 million, and lenders will provide a new loan of up to $135 million to keep the company in business, according to court papers. I mean, to think that the iconic guitar manufacturer could be obsolete. I mean, I would have never thought I would ever go on this conversation and say, Gibson Guitars has $500 million in debt, and they're filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. But, I mean, it's surreal. And you wonder they're going to have to totally restructure that. Because it's now been given into, you know, but you've never heard Gibson talking about, like, these CEOs and, like, these high-up people getting billion-dollar bonuses either. So it's going to be interesting to see. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens out of all this. But hey, it's stuff that comes across my desk and things that I was, I'm like, okay. And as in the conversation, when something comes up like that, I report on it. I made a Gibson style guitar. Don't own a Gibson, but I have a Gibson style one. So, but wow, this is creepy. I want to get into this, and it's not really a child appropriate, so. But a man who allegedly waterboarded his wife could go to prison for life.
Waterboarded his wife.
A California man pleaded not guilty after being accused of waterboarding his wife earlier this year could face life in prison. Richard David Sculler, 36, of Newport Beach, was hit with a slew of charges in January, including torture and criminal threats, after allegedly attacking his 65-year-old wife, the Los Angeles Times reported Monday. Sculler keeps her captive in their apartment for hours, Senior Deputy Director Attorney Mark Goller told Southern California's City News Service. He actually waterboarded her. Goller said the 36-year-old held his wife inside their home in January while under the influence of drugs and alcohol, the City News Service reported. The man tried to drown himself in pool. That's another story I want to get into. But after Sculler reportedly sobered up, the woman, who has not been publicly identified, was able to contact a friend who called police. She reportedly is hospitalized and to be treated for her injuries. So this is not even... This is scary. I mean, why would you... I don't get it. I don't know. That's just sad.
How long did he waterboard her and stuff?
It didn't really say how long. It just said that he was torturing her and keeping her like drugging her and making her out, you know, forcing her to drink, I guess. And it was somehow she was able to call a friend who called the police. The woman, when she sobered up, was able, when she was normal enough, she was able to call a friend and said, hey, call the police, and that's how he got busted. But a man who tried to drown himself in pool sues officers, lifeguard who saved him. I was trying to drown myself, and you guys saved me, and I'm suing you. It's not really going to go. I mean, how is he going to get anywhere?
Hey, he could. How can someone who's robbing you break his ankle or whatever and sue you and get money?
Cool.
It happened.
Cool. Then I'm going to go to the Wabash Bridge and try to commit suicide. And then when they save me, sue them. Our money problems are over.
I'm just telling you.
Oh, I know. I guess I'm kind of being... I have some sarcasm in that. I'm like, I'm sure anybody can sue anybody and win anything, you know.
Yes.
And then what's going to happen is now you're not going to be able to save somebody. So if you're really drowning, oh, we're not allowed to save anyone anymore because you're on your own because we got sued. And that's what's going to happen. You're not going to be able to save someone because you're going to get sued. I mean, now they got that crap in England. Well, you know, the guy's in an inch of water and he can't breathe. Well, we can't help him because that's considered water rescue. And we're not certified. And they'll just let a guy drown and die. Because that's considered water rescue because he's in water, even though it's an inch. And that's what's going to come to this country because some guy sues. That's the America we live in now. That's the America we live in, folks. I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't understand. I guess I'm just trying to think. Lord, help this country. I mean, we need it. I was going to commit suicide and they stopped me. I want $100 million. Okay, well, no, what? Well, I would say, well, then you really didn't want to drown yourself because then you would just do it again. I mean, yeah, if you really wanted to drown in the first place, buddy, you would have gone home and into the bathtub and done it and said, okay, but now. And I'm sure that needs to be brought into evidence, you know. If he really wanted to drown somebody, then hey. I love this because Trump has been coming out saying that fake news is going bonkers with these stories at the White House. And there's with all these stories of like the White House in turmoil and all this stuff, and nothing's going right in the White House, and you know the Russia's involved and all these things that are coming out to be false, and they basically say, hey, you know, there's trouble in the White House and there's this, and they try to make up all these stories, and when every time you turn around they're debunked, the media doesn't know what to do, and I think it's great. You know, when you have all these people that are bashing Trump and we're like, go ahead and bash them. We support them. We don't care. And all these people don't know what to do when all these anti-Trump people are not getting supported like they thought they might by the masses. It's great to see the media in turmoil. Like, what do we do? What's going on? I don't know. It's going to be interesting, though, because we got midterms coming up, and we need people like Trumpers to stand up. And we need to have, and that's the problem, is you're going to have a lot of people that see the support Trump's getting, and they're going to try to jump on the train. Well, I'm going to stand with Trump. Are they really? What's their record show? You know? You're going to have a lot of people try to jump on the Trump train just because, well, if I say that I stand with Trump, I'm in for sure. Well, if you're someone that goes against the establishment, says, hey, yeah, I'm a conservative and I'm fed up with the way this country's going, then okay. But that's the problem. You know, I think a lot of these people around the, you know, in these midterms are going to sit there and they're going to be like, well, they're going to try to get on the Trump train just for the cash value of it, per se. You know, well, hey, I'm going to have a really good chance of winning if people think that I'm a Trumper and I support him and I want to drain the swamp and I want to do all this stuff, whether I do or not.
I don't know who you vote for.
Yeah, and I'm the same way. I'm trying to do my research on who to vote for, and it's like, well, it seems like everyone just wants to get on the Trump bandwagon just because they think it's going to be an instant,
exactly,
an instant ticket to D.C. Because that's the problem we have in this country. You know, everyone wants to get into D.C. because people see all this billionaires there that get away with stuff. You know, if I had the income coming in that they do a year, the salary they have and have the wealth they have, I'd be investigated by the IRS. But then, you know, Wow. I want to get on to some Premier League news and facts and all kinds of fun stuff, because if you haven't heard, bird's the word. If over the weekend, Arsenal played their final match against Manchester United with Arsene Wenger as head of the club, and it's the end of an era. You know, it's kind of like, okay, you know, it's kind of like NASCAR when Richard Petty retired and then Dale Sr. died and all the people you grew up with. The NASCAR is changing. It's not the same anymore. What the heck? And, you know, and it's just like, okay, where's the NASCAR I remember? Where's the Ernie Irvins and the Dick Trickles? And, you know, and with, I mean, I think it's, Arsenal needs someone else to take the helm and to have a shot at the club. I mean, he hasn't done that much in the last 7-8 years, and it's sad to see him go, but at the same time, they need to start fresh with someone else and see where the club can go, see where the Gunners can do and go. And I think it's kind of like, hey, we can have you go gracefully into the sunset, or, you know, because a lot of people have been wanting him, you know, hey, he's had his tenure at the Gunners, and it's time we get new blood in there. And I think a lot of people are going to be sad to see him go, but at the same time, they're ready for someone new. So. They got 57 points, are in sixth place. You know, they're wanting to, they need to do something. They need to spice some stuff up. I mean, granted, they got beat by United 2-1. I mean, and being on the pitch, as much as Fellini has been on the pitch and as much as his husband wants him there, Jose Mourinho is begging him to stay, he should be scoring a few goals for as much time as he's out there. And he got the winning goal. To me, you're only as strong as your weakest link, and he's not a strong link. We don't have the speed. We don't have, and I mean, I'm one of those people that I was not really a wanter of Jose Mourinho in the first place. We're about development of youth. And he's always been about, well, I want these 2 and 3 year players that got 2 or 3 years left that I don't have to really teach. I don't really have to mentor. They know what to do. Yeah, I just want, okay, get out in the pitch. This is my plan. Execute it. You know what you're doing. I shouldn't have to teach you. I shouldn't have to mentor you. Where United has always been developing and generating youth. And you're not going to get every single youth player to be dominant. You're not always going to have a youth player turn into a Roy Keane or a Andy Cole or a, you know, Wayne Rooney or a Ryan Giggs. You're not every player is going to be a diamond in the rough. You know, you're going to have some lumps of coals that turn into, you know, a polished piece of coal. Yeah, they're not bad, but they're not Manchester United material. They're not Champions League material. They're not, and that's where this, you know, there's a lot of people that say, hey, we need to let bygones be bygones. And, you know, if Mourinho's got a lot to do to get this team next year. And I honestly think if he don't win a title next year, a lot of people wanted him just because, hey, he's every place he's gone except for United, he has gotten a title in the second year. He was going to be a guaranteed title. I'm like, I don't want a guaranteed title per se. I want to have someone that's going to develop the team and hopefully get titles down the road and do it the way we've always done it and have, you know, develop youth and do it the United way, the way it's always been. Not, you know, I mean, but two, I mean, with Mourinho, he's always been someone that's like 2 years here, 3 years here. He's never been at one team for any length of time. And I'm like, is it going to be another one of those where, Okay, here you go. This is a 2-year deal. Where he's going to be here for 2 years, win the title, and then be gone. Yep, he got a title at United. Now he's off to PSG. Instead of, hey, you know, we have a manager for 5 years that gets us 2 second places and 3 titles or whatever the case may be, you know? And I think a lot of the fans, and I've said this before, and, you know, I would rather be in fourth place right now and be playing 100% consistent football. That's the thing a lot of the fans are frustrated with. We're up and down, up and down. It's like we're dominating 1 week and then we can't do anything the next week. And it's just, it's frustrating when you don't, okay, like, what's going on with the team? Is it the players? Is it the management style? I mean, because some people say, well, no, the team falls on Jose. Not really. You can put a little bit of blame on him because maybe his tactics aren't the best, but it comes down to the players executing them. It comes down to the players on the pitch. If they're not executing and they're not producing, it falls on them. I can be a manager and tell you all day long, this is what I want you to do, but if you can't execute it and you can't, it's not my fault. It's the player's fault for not executing. You know, the team out there is the one that's playing, not Mourinho. Now, I'm happy with the second place finish. I'm just so frustrated with the inconsistency of play. I'm grateful for a second place finish. I'm grateful for a possible FA Cup. I'm grateful for a Europa League title. But with the inconsistency in play, we're frustrated and we want better for the team. Even if it is a third place finish, at least we be consistent. I leave you with that. Remember, with a firm alliance and the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Till Thursday, good night and goodbye. God bless.